Welcome to Hadar's Web, a podcast featuring community conversations on spirituality, healing, justice, and art. My name is Hadar Cohen. I am your host, and I am delighted to invite you to my relational web. Today's guest is Maria Amuni. Maria Amuni is a spiritual coach, human design reader, and published poet. She's been devoted to the spiritual path for the past 10 years, as it's led her to remember who she is and why she is here. Her purpose is to help people break free from the conditioning and come out the other side more empowered and connected to the divine. Welcome, Maria. So lovely to have you here.
So lovely to be here. By the way that you read that, I was like, wow, like I wish I could read my bio in that same way. Thank you so much for the lovely introduction. I loved it.
Yeah, of course. Well, this is who you are. And, you know, actually the first question I wanted to ask you, because, you know, I also identify as someone who is a spiritual teacher. And mm-hmm. I haven't met a lot of young women who really claim that as like, I am teaching spirituality and I'm bringing that. And I remember recently when we were in London together, when you introduced yourself, you said, I'm a spiritual teacher. And I was like, wow, oh my God. So I wanted to just hear you speak a little bit about what it means for you to be a spiritual teacher, to teach spirituality, and actually how you hold that also as being a young woman, because, you know, I think so often when we think of spiritual teachers, we think kind of older men, usually white, you know? So yeah, we'd love to hear you speak about that.
I love that question, by the way. It's the first time someone actually understands what a spiritual teacher is. A lot of times when people ask me what I do and I say it, they always ask me like, what is that? What does it mean? And I found myself very much challenged with claiming it and owning up to it and saying, yes, this is what I do. I am a spiritual teacher. And it took a long time to claim that for sure. It wasn't an easy journey. And it was interesting because for me, actually, I started off in health coaching after I was in corporate. And on my healing journey, I came across this realization of, well, if I don't integrate spirituality in my life, then there is no healing that takes place. Like, healing my relationship with the divine is what is actually going to heal me on such a cellular level. And I will notice my life change. If I don't heal that relationship, then your healing journey isn't going to go as far as you want it to. You're always going to have all of these bumps on the road. It doesn't mean that if you go on the spiritual journey, you don't have those bumps, but it's more so the way that you approach it and perceive it. It comes from such a different lens and perspective. And I realized that for myself, and I was like, okay, like this is what I bring to clients. It's very different to health coaching. I can talk about gut health, I can talk about hormonal health and all of these interesting things for sure. But ultimately, if I don't bring in spirituality and weave that into my practice and my teachings, I just feel like there's a bit of an emptiness, something that it doesn't feel solid, it doesn't feel transformational, it doesn't feel like people can actually discover who they're really meant to be without that element incorporated. So that was my journey with how I started to claim more and more of that. And then I started to write poetry 5 years ago, and I noticed that there was a lot of talking about the divine and God. And I actually fell off, you know, there's this expression like falling out of grace. So there was that experience in my life where I stopped believing in God completely. I was very much angry at God for some of the things that were happening in my life and taking place. So I fell off that path, and then it came back in, and it came back in stronger. And honestly, like even today, like in an experience in a meditation, I'm like, wow, like it's even stronger today than it was yesterday. So it's almost this, it's such a beautiful journey and such a mysterious journey, and like how deeply connected you can feel with the divine, and it doesn't know an end. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I really love that. So I hope that answers your question. I know I kind of went all over the place, but
no, I love that. And I resonate because, you know, I was in the healing kind of psychology community also for a long time. And there is this question that sometimes you're like, well, if you're not talking about God, if you're not talking about the divine, if you're not talking about this from a spiritual perspective, there can be this sort of like addictive quality to healing, you know, that it's just like, I need to figure out who I, you know, and it just feels like it loops sometimes. And to me, spirituality is where we can also rest, right? We can rest, even if we're not fully healed all the way, there's a resting in like who we are. And, you know, I think that word even return, right? Return to self, return to our true nature, you know? So I love that you're speaking about that. And yeah, I guess I'm curious to ask what spirituality means to you. And, you know, it's also a bit funny being in this position because I feel like these are questions that people ask me all the time. So now like I get to ask them. But yeah,
yeah, that's so
if someone were to ask you, like, what does it mean for you to be on a spiritual path? Like, what does that look like? What are the practices?
So beautiful. So many things running through me right now as you say that. I feel for me, it's to turn everything in your life into something sacred. Everything is sacred. The way that you walk is sacred. The way that you talk is sacred. The way that you move in this world becomes so sacred. This conversation feels so sacred. You asking me these questions, even the way that we met, it's to look at life in awe of creation and the creator, and to remember again that that is where you come from and where you will go. And so there's a humility in the way that you live your life and a grace as well. And you allow yourself, at least for me, to empty myself of all of the things I think I desire, or like my ego desires, and this is what I want, and this is the life that I want to create. And you said it so beautifully. It's like and rest and surrender. Like, it's been such a big theme in my life to surrender to what the path is going to look like and be like, and to allow myself to be that vehicle that moves in a way that is always in connection to that power. It's like, use me as your channel and make me move in a way that you want me to move. Allow me to speak what you want me to speak. And of course, to say that I'm in that state 24/7, 7 days a week isn't true. Like, there's obviously these moments where life feels extra challenging and you feel like there's these obstacles and you're not able to see the path clearly or to even see a person with the eyes of love, right? So there are these moments and these instances, and I use every one of those experiences as an opportunity to dive deeper into myself. Like, okay, what can I learn about me, about my traits, about my characteristics? And when I say my, I mean like that small self, obviously, the self that is conditioned and programmed to believe that it is separate from source. And so for me, spirituality is that remembering that you are connected to that one source, and that everyone is connected to that one source, but everybody is journeying towards it differently. And so if I can remember that as much as I can, as often as I can, I feel like for me, that is what spirituality is. And also, I believe it is remaining open to discovering and unlearning what it means to. I feel like there's that as well. Like, I think at the beginning of my journey, I had concepts and ideas of what spirituality was. And then today I'm in a very different position and I have very different belief systems. So I'm curious, you know. I think to be spiritual means to remain curious about life and to have these questions and to remain humble that you may never know all of the answers. And there's a mystery to it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I really resonate, especially with the unknown, right? And this turning inward as we meet the unknown. It's like, well, where can I deepen with myself? And where can I deepen with my true understanding of myself? Not just something that, you know, either I inherited or someone told me is true about me. I wanted to ask you about religion and this relationship between religion and spirituality. And I actually don't know if I've asked you this about how you grew up with religion. And yeah, because I know, you know, something that people ask me all the time, and I'm sure they ask you as well, right? Because people want to turn towards spirituality, but often have religious trauma around the ways it grew up, around who is God. And I found that teaching spirituality is also a bit learning how to work with people's traumas around religion to reorient around the spiritual path that you so beautifully spoke about. But I'm curious to hear from you is like, what has been your relationship to religion, and how do you see this relationship between spirituality and religion?
Talk about divine timing, by the way. A friend of mine and I today were talking about this, and it's so fascinating, you know, like you're asking me this question and today it's been revealed to me. So I'm going to try to answer as best as I can, because yes, I definitely grew up with religion in my life. I am Christian Lebanese, but there was a lot of flexibility, I would say, in the household in terms of religion. There was no forcing of praying necessarily, or of indoctrinating me a certain way. So there was that space. I remember being very young and asking questions around God, and no one could answer me, like, who is God? What is God? All of that. But I also remember going to like Catholic classes with my friends, even though I'm not actually Catholic, I'm Greek Orthodox. Not that it matters, but it was a way to, like, you know, be in community with my friends and like spend extra time with them, learn more about God. And today, my friend brought this up, and it's something that I've been meaning to teach as well. It's like, you know, we learned that God is a punishable God, an angry God, a God that asks you to sacrifice yourself for things. Like, there's a lot of things that we've learned in religion that definitely has been passed on to me, whether I'm conscious of it or not, right? So I was bringing this topic up because I'm like, well, then, like, is there such a thing as karma? Because then you start to explore, like, is karma a thing? Because if it's not, you know, if God forgives all and I'm always forgiven, then is there such a thing as karma, or am I creating my karma? So there was a bit of confusion around that. I can't tell you that I have the answer to it yet. Again, I think it's pretty mysterious in the sense of, like, will we ever know for sure why things happen to certain people in the ways that it does? Like, if we look at the collective and the collective suffering, I think saying that it's karma isn't necessarily going to make anybody feel better, right? It's not going to solve the issues of the planet. And I think there's a lot of spiritual bypassing if we put that label on certain things. So for me, when it comes to religion and spirituality, I do believe that religion stems from this source of spirituality. I also do have the belief that it was molded in a way to control people and manipulate people and keep them living in fear. I do feel that a lot with religion. So as much as I believe in the figures that come from religion, right? So in all three monotheistic religions, I do believe in all of these beings being beings of light and truth and love. Definitely. I feel like their messages were distorted and misinterpreted. And again, like, imagine when you tell a story of your life, of your experience, like, it's known there's going to be distortions in the way that you tell your story. It's not going to be exactly the way that it happened. And so can you imagine, like, these stories that are thousands of years old, like, really, do we know what happened then? Because the message could have been diluted or changed, distorted, or removed. I mean, I've been really, really interested in, like, the path of Mary Magdalene and her story, and her writings, her teachings were completely removed from the Bible, right? So there is, for me, at least in religion, and some people might disagree, but I feel like there is a lot of misinterpretation and judgment around the role of women and their power and how they should be perceived and how they should be in society. And so learning about Mary Magdalene and how she was considered to be a prostitute for 16 centuries, even though she was Jesus's favorite apostle, even going to saying that she might have been his wife, right, or a partner in his life, that allowed him to also access his energy and to master himself through her, right? Because she's a priestess from the lineage of Isis. So there's so many different things when it comes to this. So it was super interesting for me to unlearn all of these things that I learned, like original sin or being sinful, and being like, wait a minute, like, what am I really learning? And how is that affecting the way that I live my life, right? Like, if I believe that this is the case, that God is going to be angry at me for not being perfect, you know, it's going to keep me feeling guilty, ashamed. And I don't necessarily believe that that's the true meaning of spirituality, or the true essence of spirituality.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're talking about is so rich. And, you know, I mean, definitely, right, as we are talking about spirituality and engaging with the spiritual journey, we realize that so many of us have been fed an image of God that's very masculine. And then it's like, well, exactly, how do we come to the divine feminine path? And especially being a woman, and you're like, actually, there's some ways that the teachings don't fully land in my body because I'm looking for the more like the feminine portal. And, you know, that really very much parallels my journey as well. I mean, I saw you're reading the Magdalene manuscript, which I love that book.
I got it from you when you posted it on your stories.
Oh, did
and
you know?
It's been... Yes, I got quite a few books that you suggested on your stories. And so I put it on my shelf. And recently I've been like bored of watching Netflix. Nothing is really exciting. I'm like, you know what? It's time to read again. When I was younger, I used to love to read. So I was like, okay, let's pick this book up. And I really got into it. I was very surprised because at first I looked at it, I was like, not sure. But you know when things come at the right time when you need them most? And I feel like this book does that. But yeah, so it's revealing a lot of things for me as well. And like you said, we have this concept that God is very masculine. We even say he, him, right? And we know very well that all creations on this planet come from the feminine. So we give birth to life, right? So all of these things, there has to be a merge of both. And I feel like we are at such a powerful point in life because people are remembering the Divine Mother again, the Divine Feminine again, and allowing that to be weaved back into spirituality. And so instead of always thinking in terms of I need to ascend or I need to leave my body, it's actually more of a descent and going into the body and finding that God also lives within deep within us too. And maybe not as deep as we think, but it lives deep within.
Yeah.
Instead of just outside, like thinking that God is the one that is going to come and save us, and that there's going to be this one being that's going to come and save us. Feel like that's so disempowering. I feel like all of the teachings that I've been reading is allowing me to tap more into my power so that I remember that it's not actually going to be one person, one leader, one religion, one thing that is going to bring peace to the world, bridge heaven and earth back together again. It's going to be the collective remembering it together. So I feel like there is collective liberation when we start to integrate the divine feminine back into spirituality and religion, if people choose to stay on the religious path.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know if you heard me say this, but one of the teachings that I say in God Fellowship, which is my program around cultivating relationship with God, is that theologians discuss kind of two perspectives around God: the transcendent God, which is very much I experience God outside of my body, outside of myself, right? I transcend myself, I transcend my conditions to encounter kind of the supreme being. And then there's the immanent God, which is actually I experience God through the body, through the earth, through the experiential realm. And these were kind of seen as the different polarities, the masculine and the feminine, right? The masculine being the transcendent and the feminine being the immanent. And part of with the rise of patriarchy, right, there was kind of a complete dismissal of this immanent nature of God, and a view of like the transcendent, which is part of why I feel so much of spiritual practice for the last, I don't know, thousands of years have really favored a certain way of transcendence, right? Even with meditation practice, with all these things. And I really do feel like we're going through a cultural shift right now of actually, like, we need to integrate, you know, it's not just about leaving your body, but it's also about returning to the body and finding the wisdom there. So I think all the traditions and all the wisdom from the somatics and the more embodied are so, so critical in this time. And I think that, you know, one thing I want to ask you, and I think it's related, because when we're talking about religion and spirituality and how we grew up, like, it's so connected to politics, right? The political realm. And, you know, especially you grew up in Lebanon, I grew up in Jerusalem. You know, one of the things that I feel, and I feel this in my bones, it's not something that I necessarily can prove, but, you know, I feel that in my lineage, this relationship to religion has been very spiritual in that way. And I think actually with the rise of colonization in our region, and that's kind of what disconnected and ruptured us from the authentic spiritual roots of our land and our lineage and our people. And then we kind of got this more like Western imposed sense of religion. So I guess I wanted to hear you speak a little bit about how you see this relationship between, you know, what you were speaking about of like, okay, well, seeing how you are relating to God and all of these questions, and how that is just embedded in this the political realm and all the political challenges we are dealing with in our region.
Definitely very powerful questions. By the way, I'm loving your questions so much. And I love also the way that you framed this part of, right, like the colonization of religion. Like, I never saw it in that way. Like, I believe that, yes, when the religions came about, there was a lot of purity, but then it's also been colonized. And there was the patriarchy that also kind of weaved into it. So there were so many changes. The way that we see it politically, I mean, it's very clear when we look at the state of Palestine and Israel and all of the things that are happening there, and how it's been masqueraded as a religious thing. However, if we really peeled it off, it's not a religious thing necessarily, right? There's so many other things that have infiltrated, and I feel like they're using maybe religion sometimes as a way to get what they want, to gain more power, when really it's about colonization, for sure, the patriarchy, the suppression of the divine feminine and feminine energies within spirituality and religion. And it's to, you know, again, get what they want without caring about how they get it, if that makes sense. It's like, okay, I'm just going to go and grab what I believe is mine and what has been offered to me by God, because this is what's written in the book. And it's like, how can you use that as your excuse or your reason to do what you're doing? And then also dismiss like 99% of what your book says. Like, there's a few passages, of course, that talk about this being your land, but then there's like so many other passages saying like, love your neighbor, right? Like, how powerful is it to remember, like, love your neighbor? Like, even for us, you know, being Lebanese, there's been so much that we've grown up with in terms of the situation. And you have some Lebanese people that are very, very pro-Palestine. And you also have Lebanese people that have a lot of anger towards Palestinian people and what was done to them back in the 70s and 80s. Am I back?
Yeah, you're here.
Okay. Yeah, so for me, it's been interesting to witness, because for me, if we peel off all of the layers and we actually come to our core essence, then of course what we see is like a catastrophe, right? Like, of course it's wrong in all of the ways. And I think that something with spirituality, sometimes just kind of going back into spirituality, you know, we say there's no good, there's no bad, there's no right, there's no wrong. And I think like sometimes people get lost in that. And so they don't necessarily voice what they're feeling, or they just feel like, okay, you know what, like this is what's meant to happen. So I'm not going to do anything, or I'm not going to talk about this, or I'm not going to change the status quo. I'm only gonna work on my individual self, which I feel like spirituality has really become sometimes. It's like, let me focus on me as me, and everybody else like has to figure out for themselves. But I feel like, where is that like connection to the all, and to remember that we're all so deeply interconnected, and it's not about ascending by yourself and like floating on your, I don't know, like 9D cloud, like chilling, like sipping your matcha, like saying, you know what, like I'm not going to get involved in politics. But this is a construct that we've created. Politics is something that we've created. So I do believe that we do have a social responsibility to look into it and to see how we can organize ourselves on the ground within our communities, because it's not going to change from the top down. It's not leaders that are going to change their views. It's us as people remembering our power, coming back to who we really are, and actually taking the steps to fulfilling our purposes, and then to spread that light around, because that's how things are going to be changing. That's how I see it. I really feel it. It's like a top-down approach. So the work that we do in our communities, with our teachings, with our offerings, like I really feel like that's what shifts the scales around. And that's how the political scene can start to change, but it's going to have to happen again from within, right? We say like, it has to happen from within us. It's not gonna happen from outside of us. It's not gonna change like from like, like miraculously, and we're gonna see sudden changes. No, I really think it's from us. So hopefully, I don't know, I went like in so many different directions again, but it allows me sometimes when I flow in this way to come to the answer too.
Yeah. I mean, that nonlinear right thinking that just allows.
Yeah, it's so nonlinear, by the way. Yeah, there's a lot of nonlinear thinking.
I'm the exact. Yeah, I mean, one thing that I really just appreciated about you is that, you know, since October 7th and with the ongoing genocide happening in Gaza, like you have, because you are, you know, you speak about spirituality, you speak about human design, which we'll get to in a moment, but you know, you're not shy from using your platform also to speak about politics and to speak about Palestine. And, you know, especially in the last few months, it's been I don't want to say shocking, because I think we all kind of know, but it's disappointing to see how many spiritual leaders and spiritual teachers who do have wisdom to share about spirituality, but somehow they just either shut down, they get too scared, or they're just completely fed misinformation that they haven't challenged about it. And it's a bit like, wow, all these spiritual teachings, but there's a limit in the political sphere. Like they're not actually, you know, and for me, I think it's always been, this is where we need it the most, you know, like this is where we actually need the spiritual teachings to be applied so that we can actually, right, end these systems of oppression and end these violences and learn how to be with suffering and learn how to understand, right, the human condition, as opposed to just completely avoiding it and shutting down and getting scared and running away, you know, which I think is what I've seen happening a lot in the spiritual community.
Or passing it on and being like, not my problem, not my thing to deal with. Like I've overcome war in my own lineage, so I don't need to like feed this system as well by talking about it. But I agree with you, we shouldn't turn away from suffering. And it's so important to look at the suffering of the world, because it allows us again to look deeper within ourselves. And even with sharing about Palestine and the genocide, I started sharing it, I remember October 8th. It was October 8th that I shared my first story. And it had been years that I shared anything on Palestine, even though I'm always up to date and it's not October 7th. You know, there was so many instances before where there are illegal settlements, displacements. I have friends of mine, their cousin was kidnapped in Jerusalem. He's like a 17-year-old boy, no reason at all. So I was very much connected, and I've always been very much connected to the land, even though I've never been, but I feel such a strong love and appreciation for all people that, you know, belong to that land. And I guess like with the land in general, like, I feel like it's so sacred. I've heard so many incredible things about how powerful it is too. So coming back to talking about it many years ago, back in 2021 with like Sheikh Jarrah, I started to talk about it. I did post on my stories and I got a lot of backlash. Like, why are you talking about this? Like your spiritual page, like na na na. So I got conditioned. And so I backed off and I stopped talking about it. But then October 7th happened. October 8th, I started posting again. I was like, I'm not going to let anybody tell me what I can post and not post, or what spirituality is or isn't. Like, if being spiritual means not talking about injustice, then I don't need to put the label of spirituality next to my name. Like, it's an identity as well, right? Like, we're identified to being spiritual. And right now, what is being asked of me is to be human. And I remember, like, getting certain DMs and people saying you're supporting war and look at these videos and all of that, like you're a war promoter, child killer, rapist, like throwing these things at me. I was like, okay, you know what? Let me sit with this. I'm going to sit with what you're telling me about myself. And what I came to realize is I have darkness in me too. Like to say that I'm only made up of light and that I don't have some darkness within me is a lie. Right? Like if you were to come and do this to me, I cannot guarantee what I will do. I cannot guarantee where my mind will go. A lot of us have such trouble accepting the darkness within ourselves that we are so fast at judging and pointing fingers and saying like, oh yeah, like you're doing it wrong and this is how you should fight back. And this is, and it's like, but who are you to say you are not in that person's shoes? And I have friends that I've lost through this, obviously, and I don't think it's a loss. I think it's a gain, because now I have more space in my life to not necessarily, you know, have to convince anybody of anything. It's either you see it or you don't, and I send them a lot of love, but it's just like not in my space. I just don't want to be around that personally. But also getting their comments and their questioning and saying, you know, I would never do that, like if you blew up my house, like I wouldn't, you know, go and kill some. I'm like, you get upset at your ex-boyfriend that cheated on you. You can't forgive your parents for not treating you well when you were a child. You have trouble forgiving a friend that lied to you or that spilled wine on your carpet. You're really gonna tell me that all of this harm is done to you and you're gonna sit there like a saint?
Yeah.
I just, for me, it was like, no, I wouldn't. I would do anything in my capacity to fight back. It's how we survive as human beings. Like, I don't have time to think about all of these things. And if anything, for me, a lot of the Palestinians have shown so much faith in God. And I was very much humbled by that. I feel like they've strengthened my faith in so many incredible ways and have given me more fuel to go after what it is that I've come here to do. Like, they've given me that motivation and that drive, because it's like, well, they've been showing us what it looks like to literally live on the edge every single day, and how they show up and how they turn to their faith is something to really aspire and look up to.
Yeah, definitely, right? Because it's the faith that comes through the bearing witness to the violence and the suffering, right? Which is, to me, a much stronger root than sometimes what I feel, especially being in the US, is like this dissociated spirituality of like, I'm gonna say it's embodied, but I'm not actually gonna fully touch, exactly like you said, like the wounds where it really hits me, because that's too much. So I'm just going to kind of create this aesthetic, really, right? The aesthetic, the image. And, you know, I think about that a lot, because both in Judaism and Islam, there's this teaching about not making an image of God. Kind of this whole thing,
Yes,
image. But
and
I
you have images of God. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I think about the way that I interpret that is that it's actually so much about the image also of the mind. Is like, oh, well, this is what the spiritual path is supposed to look like, right? Because we get so caught in image, and then we're not fully present, right, with how God is alive now, which, you know, is not always light and love and light, as you're saying. Like, sometimes it's very, very in the sufferings and in the wounds. And I do believe that God is there as well, right?
Me too. I do believe that too. And we can't look away, and we shouldn't look away. And I feel like, yeah, what we're seeing is literally everything combined in like one thing to awaken us spiritually, to awaken us to our humanity as well, to our own darkness. Like the fact that people are turning away from this and not looking into it. Like, imagine how much darkness there must be within them too, because if they were to look at it, it would like, you know, tear them. It would like trigger them. There would be things moving inside of them. It can't not move someone. It doesn't matter. You take away everything. You take away race, religion, seeing it, witnessing it, like you said, will move you. So when you don't look at that, you definitely are also not looking at your own darkness. And personally, I don't feel like we live in a world where we have like enlightened beings like just walking this earth, right? So our teachers, the teachers that I looked up to at least for a long time, it's like, well, now what you can at least come to realize is that don't put anybody on a pedestal. Like that was my huge, like, done. It was coming for a while. And then now I'm like, nope, no one's on a pedestal. This teacher there who like taught me about manifestation and this and that, like posting about, you know, Israel and Biden and Kamala Harris and like praising them, like I'm like, whoa, like I don't even understand like how you're seeing the world, and we're definitely not seeing it the same way. So I've had to unplug myself from all of these teachers, not necessarily teachings, because again, like you said, there could be very valuable teachings, and thank you for teaching me that, but that's it. Like, I don't want to stream from your source. I'm going to connect to my source and see what comes through and let that come through me. And I'm also going to then see who comes my way and connect to them, because, yeah, it's just, I feel like that's how we make changes.
Yeah, I love that phrase, stream from your source.
Yeah.
Well, one other question I wanted to ask is about identity, identity and belonging. Because I think we talked about this a little bit, but, you know, sometimes when you come from a more mixed identity or an in-between identity, it also opens you up to seeing life and in different ways. You know, I certainly feel that like I can see reality because, like, in a specific way, because since the beginning of my birth, I've had to like navigate my identity and this, like, yeah, very kind of just like in between, where do I belong? Am I this lineage? Am I that lineage? And how do I, you know, kind of piece all together. So I'm just curious to hear you speak a little bit about your identity and how that shapes you.
Yeah, so for me, my identity, I feel like definitely growing up with mixed parents. So my dad is Lebanese, my mom is Korean American. I actually grew up in Kuwait for 18 years. And so everywhere that I went, I always felt like I didn't belong. Like I didn't belong in Kuwait, I didn't belong in Lebanon. When I'd go visit my grandmother in Korea, I didn't belong in Korea. I didn't speak Korean. When I went to the US, there was no connection to the US whatsoever. It's not like I was like, yes, like I belong here. So there was very much this, I don't know where I belong. Where is home? And that's why spirituality was so beautiful, because it allowed me to find home within myself instead of finding it in places or in people. But to have a mixed identity, I would say, like coming from these different backgrounds from a younger age, I definitely saw a difference between my friends and I, where I was just a lot more open to people. I was a lot more compassionate to people that were from different walks of life. I never felt like anybody was lower than me or higher than me. I really believed that everyone was created equal. And for me, that was like, that's the norm, right? Like, we're tolerant to people. I had a lot more tolerance at a younger age, I feel, and I'm super grateful for, than a lot of people, because I had to learn it at home, right? It was something that was already instilled in my home from my birth. So when I started to, obviously, that reality, or the reality that's constructed, was so different to what I knew in my own world, I was a bit like, wait, you know, what? How are people racist? And I experienced people being racist with me, whether it was like for not being Lebanese enough, or not Korean enough, or not this enough. I definitely had those experiences. And so when I feel like, also when you feel like you don't belong somewhere and you kind of feel like that outsider, what tends to happen is that you're not connected to your body as much. So when I started my spiritual journey, it was very much in the mind and like ascension and like leaving my body. And then it was like, then my body started to get sick. So then it was about, again, the return back home to my physical being. But I do feel like it does come from that. Like, it's amazing to be an observer and to see things, but it's also really good to come back into yourself. But with identity, and what I've learned is that everybody experiences different dimensions within themselves, right? Like, today, I can be this person and this being. And then tomorrow, you could catch a different version of me that responds differently to your questions. And then, you know, in a year's time, with my experiences, again, there's going to be a shift. So to remain non-attached as well to your identity, I do believe that, like, to be so identified to anything takes something away. There's like, for me, it feels like if I'm too identified to spirituality, there's something off. If I'm too identified to my humanity, there's going to be something out of balance. If I'm too identified to being Lebanese, Korean, American, I'm not going to be able to embrace everyone else. So to have that fluidity in your identity, I believe, is such a strength, and to allow yourself to like move in this world and to see what you're picking up from interacting with different people and like remembering for yourself. You feel like it is important. It also allows you to shift and move and pivot when things are no longer aligned for you too, right? And I'm picking up a little bit about like human design here and introducing it a bit. In my human design, I actually have what we call like a defined identity center. Identity governs like your purpose and your direction in life. And so mine, from a very young age, it basically says like, I kind of knew where I wanted to go. I kind of knew who I was. And so I have that like anchor within me that directs me. But then, for example, you, because I know your chart, you have an undefined identity. So you show up differently with different people. Like, how you are with me is going to be very different with like your family members, your friendships, your relationships, all of these things. You're going to be a different you. And it's like, that's a beautiful thing that you get to be this chameleon. And life will try to put you in a box, right? So let's say you are with your Jewish community, you will have a different approach and different versions of you are going to come out, and you're going to feel like you want to talk about different things, and you're going to want to practice different things. And then you go to your like Arab community, and then you feel like, oh, wait, like I want to do this and I want to do that. And then it's like, then you get to like bridge worlds. I feel like that's what it does. It allows you to bridge these different worlds, which you do so beautifully. So that's what I feel with the,
the thing that, I mean, also being a Pisces, you know, I just feel like I flow and I adapt and I'm so mutable. And I think that's also what is sometimes triggering or threatening to people, right? Because it's like, well, how is she doing that? How is she in all these different places?
And yeah, and it's, again, like for some people, they're going to look at it and they're going to be like, oh, you know, why is she different with her than she is with me? And why is she different with this person than that person? And why is she not showing up in the same way? And why did she decide to like completely change herself overnight? And it's like, because I'm meant to embrace my fluidity and to wear many different hats in life. and not to just wear one hat. And I think that if people were actually more able to do that, to really see how differently they would be in different groups of people, I do feel like we would live in such a different world. Like people would have more understanding for the other that they've othered, and only to realize it's actually themselves that they've othered.
And I love what you're saying so much, because it's all, and I think about this a lot, because it's like, really, what does it mean to allow ourselves to change? Like, let ourselves be changed, let ourselves be transformed. It does mean that we show up differently in different places and different spaces, right? If I'm just fixed on me being this certain way, then I'm not fully allowing for my growth and my evolution, right? Because in growth and evolution, necessarily, there is change. So, yeah. The last question I just wanted to...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was actually going to ask you a question. Like, how do you feel like your identity allows you to move in this world in a way that is, like, unique to you, I would say? Like, right?
Yeah.
Like... is your, like, your blend of so many different things, like your fusion with so many different things, like, how do you feel like that's allowed you to approach the world with your own uniqueness?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the way that I relate to spirituality is, you know, definitely the one God, the infinite God, all of that. But then I also believe that there's specific divine wisdom and the family we were raised in, the place we were born, our identity. Like, you know, that is a specific portal through which we see and experience the world. And, you know, there's a lot there, right? There's resistance to certain things. There's love of other things. It's, you know, it is kind of this filter. And I think that sometimes there's this tendency that, to just want to, like, run away and escape and just be like, well, I'm just a human. And I certainly have that within me of, like, I'm just a human. I don't want someone to see me for my identity. I just want to be human. But then there's other moments where I'm like, well, but my identity and the complexity of my identity and, you know, this being able to actually be in Arab community, in Jewish community, and feel, you know, safe and comfortable in both, and unsafe and uncomfortable in both at the same time too, actually does provide, give me a specific way of seeing the world that I think a lot of people actually don't have. I mean, especially in this moment, right? Like, to really see and understand the Jewish community, and to really see and understand the Arab community, and to, like, hold that inside. So I've come to see that both as a blessing and a certain responsibility, because I think that ends up just informing my work, right? Because not everybody can do what I can do, and the reason why I can do what I can do is because of my particular identity. And I think that, you know, when I spiritually coach people, and especially when they feel lost around their purpose or what they want to do in this world, it's like, it is really helpful to start with, like, well, where was I born? What is my identity? What is my context, right? Because that's kind of where you can start situating yourself a little bit more to see, like, what are the needs and what are my gifts, and how can I provide? Versus if we don't have that conversation about identity at all, it's like, it's a bit, feels sometimes detached from the community and from the politics of it. And of course, as you said, like, we don't need to get over identified with these things. Like, we still want the freedom to allow ourselves to be. But yeah, I do feel that it provides, like, this, this way of, like, clarifying, like, why we are here. And, you know, that's different.
For sure. I've heard some interesting stuff from certain people that were talking about, you know, meeting people that are Palestinian originally in Bali, for example. And, you know, she was talking to this person thinking that she would be able to form a connection and all of that. And the person's like, yeah, like, I've risen above this, you know, like, I'm not gonna talk about this. So in that way, it's like, you know, you, like you mentioned, like, where you're born or who you are, or, like, your lineage, like, provides clues to your identity. And to completely block off that stream and to say, well, I've risen above it because I'm just a spiritual being, it's like, well, then you're actually perhaps not answering the calling that was set forth for you. Like
Yeah.
you're answering your call because you're that bridge and you've had those experiences. It's like, okay, what can I provide to my community given my background and my experience with having this within me? And so you're utilizing it, but you have some people that are just like blocking that flow, thinking that they don't need to stream into it or connect to it or dig into it at all because they're just connected to one stream. And it's like, well, allow yourself again to have that connection, to look into these spaces because there's something for you there. Now that's the whole thing. And I think with everything that's transpiring, what everyone can like stream something from this situation. There's something to learn about yourself, about your darkness, about your identity. What do you really identify to? And to make changes, I feel like I have so many friends of mine that have changed exponentially during this time. It's like every time I see them, they're such a different being because of what's taking place, and they're allowing what's taking place to move them so deeply. And it's really nice to see how that's shifting their identity and connecting them to a higher purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe related to that, because I think you could think about that just as kind of a last question. I just want to hear a little bit about human design, because I know that is such a big part of your work and what you offer the world, and maybe in this actually even relationship to identity, right? Because I think human design gives you wisdom of understanding your uniqueness and your personal self, and not necessarily, I mean, at least that's how I've kind of used it, not just making blanket categorical universalist statements about humanity, but really understanding that humans are wired differently. You know, they have different needs, they have different ways of communicating. And the more that we learn about ourselves, the more that we can actually also understand others. So curious for you to just speak a little bit about human design and how you work with it.
Definitely, I would love to share more. So human design came into my life where I was at this point where I really didn't know who I was. It's like, who am I? What am I supposed to do? All of these things that I was identified to are no longer speaking to me in the same way. And I remember having my first reading and feeling so seen and heard and given language around my human experience, around why I had these feelings or why I was an empath, or why I used to feel like certain ways around certain people. Like, it just also allowed me to understand my whole life, like from when I was born to when I learned about human design, and to have so much compassion for that version of me that felt all of these things. And to be like, that's why you felt that. That's why you experienced this way. And there was nothing wrong with you back then. It was just that you were a sponge picking up on all of these different things. So that's the beauty of human design. It actually incorporates the Kabbalah and its design. So it's, you know, the I Ching, the Vedic philosophies, the chakra system, actually, so that's the Vedic philosophies, and quantum physics and astrology and the Kabbalah, so Jewish mysticism. And it is a very mystical framework, honestly. However, it also feels super scientific a lot of the times, because it's like, okay, you know how to like do a reading or how to like dig into a person's chart. And I would say 99% of the people I've given a reading to will always resonate with the reading. They will always feel like it speaks to them and it allows them to really heal. Like, I've had people tell me like, this is better than therapy. Like, I feel like I'm understanding parts of myself that even in my therapy sessions, I'm not receiving. And that for me is very reaffirming, because it's like, okay, like it's not just me. And because I do believe that our journey is all about like self-mastery, at least personally, that's been my path. It's like to master my own energy, to really like master myself so that I can be in this world and feel like I'm a powerful being. And of course, it doesn't mean that you don't ebb and flow with your power and how you feel, or your worth and how you feel. Like, all of these things are natural, but more so to remember again. I think it's, again, for me, the system allows me to remember, okay, like this is how I've been specifically designed. It's normal for me to go through these experiences, to not have you know, to embrace the messiness of life. Like, it's very much part of my design to like try things out, fail at them, but they're not actually failures. They're allowing me to integrate more of my wisdom. But like 5 years ago, I wouldn't go down a certain path because I was like, but it's not perfect yet. And now it's like, oh, okay, it's not perfect. It's okay. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out as you go. And to understand the other that you're with, right? Whether it's a parent, a sibling, again, a relationship, like, oh, okay, like you're this way, I'm this way. You're not going to change me. I'm not going to change you. We can understand each other and how we like can, you know, help each other grow, or to at least have compassion when the other is going through these ups and downs, like emotionally, to leave them in their space. Like, I have a lot of friends that have what we call like the emotional center defined. And I believe in your case, your emotional center is also defined. You're an emotional manifester. And so every single day, you experience different ranges of emotions, and you're here to experience a wide range of emotions. And if, like me, as a non-emotional who's very much empathetic, I'm spending time with you and you're feeling sad on a given day, and I try to change your feelings, and I'm like, oh, like, you know, do this and you'll feel better, or do that. And I used to do that. I used to try to make my friends who were feeling emotional feel better. But I didn't realize I was actually taking away from their experience of feeling emotional. It's like, you just want to be there. Like, this is what you want to feel. Like, allow them to be in that space and stop trying to fix them or stop trying to make them feel better. But the reason why I was doing that was because I couldn't deal with the emotions that I was experiencing within me, because it was magnified now in my own body. So as an empath, you magnify the emotions of those around you. So it's like, wait, this is so intense. Like, you're sad 6 out of 10. Now I'm sad like 8 out of 10. It's like, I can't deal with this. What do I do? So actually learning about emotions was a very big part of my path. I didn't understand emotions for a very large part of my life. And now I talk about emotions all the time. And people are like, oh, okay, like, you're comfortable speaking about emotions. I'm like, today. But meet me 5 years ago, I didn't know what an emotion, like, I knew what it was, but I didn't understand it within myself. And I also didn't understand how people had that within them. So for me, it's been very revealing and very healing as well, because it allows you to just release your conditioning, come back to your true nature, embrace it. So as a manifester, you're meant to be bold, and the bolder you are, the better it is. And I've shied away from being bold a lot of the times. You know, I've made myself small because it doesn't feel good to be bold or to like say things as they are, and to realize that I'm not meant to walk the same path as everybody else. I was, because I'm also a manifestor, I was trying to imitate other people's paths. It's like, no, like, you have your own. You're here to be the initiator, the fire starter. You start something, but then it might be that you don't see it all the way to completion. Or if you do, even if it's completed, you do want that support system to keep it going, right? Like, as manifestors, we experience this quite often. We start something and then we might get depleted on our way to finishing it. So we're like, okay, I'm going to keep it to the side. I'll do this later. And it's happened to me so many times. And it's like, okay, because the fuel runs out and we get interested in many different things in our lifetime. So, you know, we might be interested in this. I might be doing human design now for X amount of years. And then who knows, down the line, I might be like, I want to do something else. Mm-hmm. And talking about identity, it's like, okay, like, you're here as a soul to experience so many different things. Why limit yourself to that one thing and put yourself in one box? And one of my favorite sayings, actually, now it's my favorite saying. My dad used to say this to me all the time, and it never sat well with me. He's like, a jack of all trades is a master of none. And he was basically trying to tell me to stay in one lane, like focus on teaching yoga, because that's what I used to do before. Or just focus on that. Like, why are you telling me you want to publish a poetry book, or that you want to go do this, or you want to do that? Like, stick to your path. And then I found that the complete quote was actually, a jack of all trades is a master of none, but better than a master of one. And so it's like, okay, you know, you have the ability to go and master more than just one thing. So that's also the beauty of human design too, right? Like when you understand your gifts and your talents, I really, what I've noticed is nobody just has one gift and talent.
Yeah. That's good to know the rest of that quote, because people have definitely used that with me too, being like, just focus on one thing. And it's like, well, for me, that is also part of being a mystic, is like the multidimensional. It is multiple, you know, and to understand myself in multiple ways is part of my spiritual path. So
for sure. And to allow that to take place is so important, and freeing and liberating and expansive. And I believe also super inspiring to others that have been super conditioned to stay in their cage, to just stay there and not go explore many different paths and roads, and to give them that ability to just like, okay, you want to do that? You've been wanting to be a film director since you were a child. It's in your, like, your chart is even telling you that it's something that you're good at. Like,
yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, is there anything else as we wrap up that we haven't touched on that you wanted to share or offer?
Actually, I feel like we talked about so many beautiful things together today. And it's so synchronistic with what's coming up for me right now. So thank you so much for providing the space, for listening, for being such a good listener, by the way. So yeah, you're definitely very, very receptive. And I felt really comfortable sharing my story with you. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing, I think, what you are offering and what you are also working. You know, one of the things that I just actually really love about you and is that it's not that you're just offering and teaching these things. You're also practicing them within yourself, and you're very vulnerable around how it lives in you. And I think that is the type of spiritual leadership that we need in this time. So thank you.
Thank you for recognizing that. Yeah.
Yeah. If people want to find out about your work, what's the best way to find you?
Instagram is probably the best way. I am working on my website right now, updating everything. It had been years that I updated my website. Didn't think people would still use websites, but apparently it's something to do. And yeah, I dabbled in TikTok, but I can't get into it. So I'm like, okay, let's just focus on Instagram and my website. So yeah, those two things.
Okay, lovely. Well, thank you so much, Maria, for coming on. It was such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. And I hope that one day I get to interview you soon. That would be fun too.
Yes, totally. Would love that.